Good evening. Let's call to order the Housing and Human Services Commission meeting of October 22nd, 2025 at 7 p.m. The city does not tolerate disruptive behavior in our meetings. Sunnyvale prides itself on the rich diversity of our residents. We are committed to creating a culture of belonging where members of our diverse community feel included, safe, and respected. This Housing and Human Services Commission meeting is considered a limited public forum, which means the commission can regulate the time, place, and manner of speech. Speaker comments must be limited to the agenda item being considered by the commission for consent calendar or public hearing items. Speaker comments during oral communications must be limited to matters within the commission's authority, generally referred to as within the commission's subject matter jurisdiction. If a speaker's comments are not related to an agenda item, the presiding officer will rule the speaker out of order. A speaker will not be ruled out of order because of a disagreement with the content of their speech. Location and online meeting details are available on the Housing and Human Services Commission agenda. Use the show captions button to view captions on Zoom. Comments on the matters not on the agenda must be submitted prior to the time I call the item for oral communications. Comments on agenda items must be submitted prior, items must be submitted prior to the time I close the public hearing on the agenda item. Speakers are requested to keep their comments to the time period set for public comments for the agenda item, which will be strictly enforced. Guidelines are posted on the city's website and on the Housing and Human Services Commission meeting agenda. Please join me in the salute to the flag. Flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice for all. Recording officer, may we please have the roll call?
Yes, Commissioner Shen. Commissioner Shen, can you please?
Present.
Thank you. Commissioner Duncan?
Present.
Commissioner Weiss?
Present.
Commissioner Davis?
Present.
Vice Chair Revere?
Present.
Commissioner Stewart?
Present.
We have six commissioners present with Chair Friedlander absent.
Chair Friedlander's absence is excused. And now for oral communications. This is now the public's opportunity to address the commission on topics not listed on tonight's agenda. This section is limited to 15 minutes and may be extended or continued after the public hearings, general business section of the meeting. Individuals may only speak once during oral communications. This Housing and Human Services Commission meeting is a limited public forum, and the commission can regulate the time, place, and manner of speech. Speaker comments during oral communications must be limited to matters within the commission's authority, which is known as the commission's subject matter jurisdiction. If a speaker's comments are outside the commission subject matter jurisdiction, the presiding officer will rule the speaker out of order. This allows the commission to conduct its business in a reasonably efficient manner and protects the rights of other speakers. A speaker will not be ruled out of order because of disagreement with the content of their speech. Please submit a speaker card to the recording officer, raise your digital hand now, or dial *9 on a telephone to indicate you wish to speak. Before calling on members of the public, I have two announcements to make. Let's see. The board and commission recruitment is underway for the following openings. Human Relations Commission, and applications are due by 4 p.m. on Monday, October 27th, in order to be scheduled for an interview with the council on Monday, November 3rd. General eligibility requirements include Sunnyvale residency. For more information, visit sunnyvale.ca.gov and search boards and commissions or call the office of the city clerk at 408-730-7483 to request an application. Applications to serve on a board or commission are accepted on a continuous basis. Applications received after the deadline will be considered for future openings. Another or second public announcement is United Against Hate Week. United Against Hate Week is a community-driven campaign designed to raise awareness, foster inclusion, and stand together against all forms of hate, bias, and discrimination. Its purpose is to bring people together to promote unity, encourage understanding, inspire action, and celebrate diversity as a source of strength. As a part of this effort, the city will host two special events highlighting our community's commitment to equity and inclusion. The first event is Sustainability Speaker Series event, United for Disability and Climate Justice. Sunnyvale's Sustainability Commission invites you to the upcoming Sustainability Speaker Series event, United for Disability and Climate Justice. Daphne Frias, a 27-year-old Latina and disability rights advocate with cerebral palsy, will share her powerful perspective on the intersection of disability rights and climate justice. Featured in the New York Times, Teen Vogue, and on NPR, Daphne highlights how the strength and resilience of disabled communities can inspire new approaches to protecting our environment and fighting climate change. Join this inspiring event to gain a fresh perspective on achieving our climate goals through the lens of equity and inclusion. The event will take place virtually on Monday, October 7th from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Registration is required to attend. For more information and to register, visit sunnyvale.ca.gov and search Sustainability Speaker Series or contact 408-730-7717. Now I will call on members of the public of participating in person first, followed by remote participants. Speakers will have 3 minutes to speak. Does anyone, let's see, are there any individuals waiting to speak?
Not at this time.
Thank you. Does anyone else want to speak under oral communications? Let's see before we hear if there's anyone remote.
Nobody in person or remote at this time, Vice Chair.
Thank you. Because of the nature of remote communications, speakers who are ruled out of order will not be given another chance to speak on this item. Therefore, speakers who are warned to limit their comments to subjects that fall within the commission's authority or decide to take action. Let's see. If there are no speakers, I'll go ahead and close oral communications.
We'll move on to the consent calendar.
Thank you. Moving on to the consent calendar, does staff have an announcement to make?
Yes, we do. So you should have received an email from me in regards to the meeting minutes of September 24th. There was a slight administrative error and correction that we made. I'll go ahead and share my screen. So this was a memo you received. It's in regards to the chair and vice chair in our meeting minutes, as well as Commissioner Davis's was being removed from the consent calendar roll call as he was not in attendance at that meeting. So you should have received this email from me yesterday, and if we can move forward with the consent calendar with those errors being addressed, when I publish the meeting minutes, everything should look smooth and correct.
Thank you. Now I will go ahead and open public comment on the consent calendar item. Please submit a speaker card to the recording officer, raise your digital hand now, or dial *9 on a telephone to indicate you wish to speak. I will call on members of the public participating in person first, followed by remote participants, and they will have 3 minutes to speak. Does anyone want to speak on a consent calendar item before we hear from remote speakers?
We have nobody in person.
All right, thank you. And recording officer, do we have any remote participants wishing to speak on the consent calendar item?
Not at this time.
Thank you. I will close public comment and I will now ask for a motion from my colleagues. All right. Let's see, Commissioner Duncan.
I move to approve the Housing and Human Services Commission meeting minutes of September 24 with the changes made by staff.
Thank you. Is there a second on the motion? Commissioner Stewart.
I second the motion.
Thank you. Is there any discussion or advocacy on the motion? All right. Recording officer, can we please conduct the roll call vote?
Yes. Commissioner Stewart?
Yes.
Commissioner Shen?
Yes.
Commissioner Duncan?
Yes.
Vice Chair Revere?
Yes.
Commissioner Davis? Okay. And Commissioner Weiss?
I abstain.
Okay. The motion carries with four commissioners voting yes. Commissioner Davis and Weiss abstaining, and Chair Friedlander absent.
Thank you. Moving on to our next item, 25-1020. Is there a staff report?
There is.
Council appointed board and commissions develop annual work plans that identify policy issues that a board or commission will be acting on during the year. Included in the work plan is an annual review of the code. During this review, boards and commissions have an opportunity to recommend revisions to the code. These recommendations are then submitted to City Council for their consideration, along with excerpts of the board or commission meeting minutes. Staff makes no recommendation. This report is being presented to the Housing and Human Services Commission to review and to allow the Housing and Human Services Commission an opportunity to provide the City Council with a recommendation if desired.
Thank you for the report, and I will now ask questions from my colleagues. Are there any questions for the Commissioner Weiss?
Thank you, Vice Chair. Two questions for clarification. In a situation where a commissioner or board member has a personal interest in the subject being discussed and wishes to address that topic, is it acceptable for that commissioner or board member to step aside, recuse oneself, and sit with the public and then address the commissioner board as a member of the public?
I will be the first to admit that I am not a subject matter expert on the code of ethics. That's certainly something that I would have to look up. But
I think there's the FPPC has conflict of interest guidelines. So if there's a financial interest, then you recuse yourself. And then depending on what type of conflict, you can either stay in the room as an audience or, but that's something that the attorney can advise you on, in that conflict of interest related to financial interests. And then the other conflict of interest you were mentioning was...
But then could one speak, come up to the dais and speak?
I think, yeah, in certain cases you can. You just can't be deliberating and making decisions. Right. But if you wanted to, you could describe it and then email the attorney the details of your the conflict of interest circumstance. And then in the code of ethics, there's also a different kind of conflict of interest too, where you would just declare something, and that, but you could stay there.
It might not even be financial. It could be a personal thing.
Yeah.
Okay. And my second question has to do with these items that we were gifted. Are we only to wear them at city events, or do we wear them, you know, in Safeway when we're out and about, or should we confine wearing them to city events?
That is something, again, that I would have to look up and confirm what the official policy, if any, is on that. So we'll talk to the city clerk, and then we can provide an official response. It's a good question.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Stewart.
Thank you. I had a process question. So sometimes once we receive the agenda for the next meeting, I could think of resources that I would think that perhaps my fellow commissioners could make use of in regards to evaluating what's coming up. For example, as you know, I like to look at everybody's tax returns, especially nonprofits. Is there an appropriate way to communicate that to the rest of the commissioners? Would I write a letter to the commissioners as a member of the public, or what would be the proper way?
To make sure I'm understanding the question correctly, if there's information sharing that you would like to do with your fellow commissioners, how would you go about that and not violate the Brown Act?
Correct.
Okay. I am going to see if Vice Mayor Sell has any response, or Janelle has any response, because that is another good question. And I don't have an answer for you immediately. And so if neither of them has one either, then we can certainly get back to you.
Yes. So speaking of, David had City Clerk's Division just recently sent us some information on Monday. I just got back from a separate program this past Friday, so I haven't had the time to review it on top of my other, I guess, tasks and responsibilities. So I can definitely get back to you and provide it by email and follow up.
Thank you.
Yes, that's actually a great point, Janelle. David Carnahan, the city clerk, just sent out to boards and commissions just a sort of refresher email about the Brown Act and the roles of the chair, the vice chair, you know, expectations for those who are just getting into this type of a position as a commissioner. And so we would be happy to share that information, and we can also pull out that particular item because I'm sure that it's in there.
Commissioner Duncan.
Oh. To the prior question, I'm not an expert on this topic either, but my experience is that if an individual commissioner wishes to have some information made available to the entire commission, that that's acceptable as long as it goes through city staff first to be distributed to the entire commission. We've seen that done on a few different occasions.
That's a good point. Janelle would be a first best step, sharing it with her, and then she's able to share out with the rest of the group and blind copy you all.
Yes, Commissioner Duncan, I know we've done that before. I just wanted to make sure that I cross my T's and dot my I's and have it the accurate, most accurate information for all.
Thank you, Commissioner Davis.
Commissioner Davis?
Oh, okay. Let me use this one. Commissioners can also ask that items be agendized, you know, through the secretary and through the city's clerk. So if you have something that you find of interest that you think that would be of interest to the commission, you can ask that that item be agendized for discussion.
Yes, thank you for the reminder. There's also a study issue avenue as well, just in case if there are other additional details. And were there any additional comments from colleagues or questions on this particular item?
If you do share items with your colleagues in advance, then it should not in any way imply a direction that you'll be moving on that issue. So it would be safer for it to be like a third party, you know, reference, and it has nothing of your personal opinion in relation to it. Yeah.
Thank you. Any additional comments or questions from colleagues on this item? Commissioner Duncan.
Are the commissioners expected tonight or soon after to sign this form and give it to staff?
No.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. I don't see any other hands up for comments or questions. And so I will go ahead and open the public hearing on this specific item. Please submit a speaker card to the recording officer, raise your digital hand now, or dial *9 on a telephone to indicate you wish to speak. I will call on members of the public participating in person first, followed by remote participants. Speakers will have 3 minutes to speak. Does anyone want to speak on this item overall before we hear from remote speakers?
Not at this time.
Thank you. And recording officer, do we have any remote participants wishing to speak on this item?
Not at this time.
Thank you. And I will close the public hearing. I will now ask for a motion from my colleagues. Okay, let's see. It asks for...
Madam Chairman.
According to the here. So according to the script, it says a motion is required. A recording officer, is that something that we are required for this particular item?
A motion is required for alternative one or alternative two. So let me just pull it up.
Let's see.
So if you have no changes, that would be alternative one. Receive the code of ethics and conduct for elected and appointed officials as presented in attachment one to the report. Recommendation or alternative two is receive it with modifications.
Let's see, Commissioner Weiss.
I move alternative one, receive the code of ethics and conduct for elected and appointed officials as presented in attachment one to the report.
Thank you. And Commissioner Davis?
Second.
Is there discussion or advocacy on the motion? All right. Recording officer, please conduct a roll call vote.
Yes. Vice Chair Rivera. Commissioner Duncan, to your point in regards to the signature at the end, I will have to get back to you. So it is possible that you do need to sign it. I know last year I was also new to this commission, so I'm not just from last year, the signature wasn't quite there. So that is why I said no, but I will confirm with City Clerk's Division. Thank you. And yes, I can take roll. All right. Commissioner Davis?
Yes.
Commissioner Duncan?
Yes.
Commissioner Shen?
Yes.
Commissioner Stewart?
Yes.
Commissioner Weiss?
Yes.
Vice Chair Rivera?
Yes.
And Chair Friedlander is absent, so the motion carries with all commissioners voting yes.
Thank you. This next portion of the agenda is for oral reports and announcements by commissioners and staff to share information. Do commissioners have any non-agenda items or comments? Commissioner Weiss.
Yes. Is this the time in the meeting during which I could, for example, ask Vice Mayor Sell a question? Or does that come later in the agenda?
Commissioner comments?
Well, it was comments or questions, I believe. And I have a question for Vice Mayor Sell.
Yes.
Is this the appropriate time?
Yes, I would say so.
Thank you. Vice Mayor, I heard that the city has engaged the services of a lobbyist in Sacramento. And I was wondering what the focus of the lobbyist is. Is it particular programs or just in general the interests of the city?
Well, so the city has projects and it has strategic plans and all of those. And so the lobbyist helps the city to understand what's happening in Washington, D.C., and what's happening in Sacramento with the legislature and all of that. And so their goal is to be a window into those government agency and to help us as a city move forward our goals and our strategy. So they're like advisors. That's what I see.
Okay, because the term lobbyist implies actively going to bat in Sacramento for city program, for the city interest. That's why I was confused.
Well, as example, so there's a League of Cities in which council members from all across the nation go to Washington, D.C. for this conference. And then we could meet with our Congress members and other Congress members. And then so before we had this these lobbyists in place, the council members would just go talk to their Congress member and other Congress member. And so it wasn't as effective as when you go with someone who is our lobbyist. They're kind of like our advisor, and they know like what bills are going on, and then they could say, hey, that bill relates to that strategy that you're working on. Maybe you should talk to your Congress member about it. So it's kind of like that. They're kind of in the know, like for our staff to be knowing like all the bills in the state and the Congress, it's very hard for our staff to do it. So they're experts because they have other clients. And then so that's your job, to be on top of like the bills that are going on and something like that. So that's what they do. So although they are lobbyists, they're mostly, I see them as mostly advisors to help further what Sunnyvale wants to get done. And we don't have that expertise that has, you know, full-time person in Sacramento or Washington, D.C. to help us further our goals.
Thank you. Thank you for that explanation.
Yeah. But in these very difficult times, I'm so glad that we have them. Yeah.
Thank you, Commissioner Duncan.
I have a question for staff. It could be answered tonight or future meeting. In July of last year, this commission approved or recommended to council to approve $29.5 million of housing mitigation funds on three projects, and council approved them shortly afterwards. 1171 Sonora Court, 295 South Matilda, and 352 East Java. And my question is, how are those projects going, proceeding?
Sure. That would certainly be something that would be best if we came back with an update to the commission. I can talk to our housing specialist who oversees those projects and see if we can't get maybe like an information only report, or perhaps it's something during the next meeting that I can provide during staff update.
Kind of a follow on to that is, mm-hmm. My understanding is the Java project has been canceled. I don't know why, or I don't know if that's correct. And so then the follow on would be, are there any other further opportunities to try to fund further projects? We can make that all part of the update.
Yes, that project has just been pushed out a bit and is eligible to compete for future funding rounds. As you may know, we put out the housing mitigation funding NOFA every 2 years. So we put it out in 23, 24. So we're due again to put it back out in January of 26. And so, there will be an opportunity. And for any funding that hasn't been expended and isn't allocated to projects in the past, there would just be additional funding in future rounds.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. Commissioner Davis.
Okay, I have a question along those same lines. Is there any federal money involved in any of those projects?
The projects that were awarded were primarily for pre-development funds. So they aren't at a place right now where they were able to get all of their other funding together. To my knowledge, not at this point.
That's good. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. A question as well on if there's a type of dashboard for data to show how close we are in terms of the RENA or the affordable housing unit goal that we were allotted or assigned, if there's a way either public facing or internal data to see how close we are.
We are required by HCD, the State Housing and Development Agency, to provide an annual update each year. We have to do the APR. And in that APR, we report on the number of units that were built, that are in the pipeline, the different types of units, single family versus multi-unit housing. And that we submit by April 1st every year. And it does go to council before we submit it. And so I will take a look at our online website, and I will see if it is posted there as well. It's public information. So I'll see if it's posted there, and that maybe that's something we could start doing in the future if it's not, as having it up there.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Any additional non-agenda items or comments, commissioners? All right. Does staff have any non-agenda items or comments?
I have a few. So first up is that last night council heard the study issue on study issues and approved the recommendation to change the process. So it is item 250569, if anyone's interested in reading the report that the consultant wrote. And we'll be receiving more information as staff in the coming months about how that will change the study issue process that we once were following. Next up is that there are two information only items that will be on the council agenda for November 18th. And I wanted to make you aware of those. So the first one is the Homeless Services Annual Update. It'll include a brief report about WeHope's first year of providing homeless services and their program metrics for each of those three programs that they were running. The next one is for a guaranteed basic income. So council requested staff come back after 1 year from the study issue completion, which was last October, and provide a report on any funding opportunities. And so that is the second report, again, that will be information only. And so once that's published, we can ensure that we also just send over a link to both of those so that you have them in your inbox. Next is that on 12/2 at 6 p.m., we asked you to attend a joint meeting for HHSC and the City Council to come together to consider approving the homelessness strategic plan that will be presented that night. For some additional background, so that you're a little more prepared, the staff have been working on this plan since earlier this year. It's something that council and the city has just really, and I'm sure yourselves, have found important to have a sort of like a playbook and a guide to how we spend our very limited homelessness funding that we have and prioritize what exactly the city needs for programs and services for people who are experiencing homelessness. And so this strategy is intended to do just that. It'll be a five-year strategy. And it'll be an implementation plan, it'll be a funding plan, and it'll have the goals and strategies that we're recommending for the city for the next 5 years So again, as soon as that is published, we'll also get that out to you, so you'll be able to review it ahead of time. And lastly, last month I had shared with you that the Downtown Streets team was closing its doors at the end of October. And I wanted to provide another update, which is that we will be coming back to you with a substantial amendment to the action plan, probably in early next year, to close out the program, because that is what's done if it is no longer occurring. So expect us to be coming with that. And next month, we'll also be bringing to you for approval the RFPs for our federal funding for CDBG capital projects and economic development, and also for our home TBRA program. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any comments from commissioners or questions on the informational report items?
Vice Chair Rivera?
Yes.
I have a follow-up to Commissioner Duncan's question in regards to the model of excellence signatures. Yes. When you were onboarded, you should have but had to review it and sign it. So it's not something that you need to sign annually.
Yes, thank you for the update. Are there any additional comments or agenda non-agenda items? All right. This meeting is adjourned at 7:37 p.m. And I want to thank everyone for your participation in tonight's meeting.